Ça tomber, c'est Okay, says the Gemara Chav Dalet Amud Beis, first wide line. Hamashmiya koiloi b'tfilosoi. This is a quote from the previous Gemara. Harizeh miktanei emuna. If somebody is mashmiya koiloi, now we need to make a distinction. Hamashmiya koiloi does not mean that he's yelling. It does not mean that he's screaming. If you remember in the previous Gemara, we saw one line about being mashmiya koiloi and another line about being magbiya koiloi. Magbia, like from the word doing hagboa sasefer Torah, that indeed means to lift one's voice, to daven loudly. Hamashmiya koil doesn't mean that he's screaming his davening, but rather it means he is davening in a way that his davening is audible. His davening is audible. You're supposed to be davening quietly. By the way, when we talk about davening, we do not mean, obviously, Psukkah de Zimra and Shema, we're talking about Shemaine Esra. And where do we learn this from? We learn this from Chana, because it says that when Chana davened, he medaberes al libo, literally translated, she davened from the heart, but the Gemara learns from that, she davened to the heart, meaning it was silent. It's a personal experience, connection with her and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So the Gemara says, Hamashmiya koiloi b'tfiloso harizeh miktanei emuna, then this person would be considered small in emuna. And we saw this last week. Rashi points out if you have clear emuna, then there's no need to daven loudly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hear you when you daven quietly as well. I don't want to launch into a whole discussion now, but it's true on occasion, and we're going to see this in a moment in the Gemara, sometimes davening loudly can actually be ma'orer kavona, which is the reason that some parts of davening, to the contrary, we encourage davening loudly, right? It says, somebody's oina omenya ishmei rabba b'kol koichai, Rashi says, b'kol rom, in a loud voice. But al kaponim, not this very personal, intimate, private part of davening, which is Shemoneh Esra. So the Gemara says, amashmiya koilo b'tfilosei harizeh miktanei emuna omar avuna. Loi shanu, this is exactly the point we just mentioned. Loi shanu elo sheyochol lechavein es liboi belachash. The above statement was only ever said that you should not daven in a loud manner or in an audible manner, only if indeed you're able to be mechavein your heart even while davening quietly. So then it's best to do so and not daven in a way that's audible. Avol, if however, ein yochol lechavein es liboy belachash, if it is not possible to daven, you cannot be mechavein whilst davening quietly, then mutter, it is permissible to daven in a loud voice, or at least make yourself audible. Now, if we would stop here, that might sound like an alarming conclusion, that if I'm davening in Kehillas Agroah, there's 200 people there, Shabbos, trying to concentrate, I can daven loudly in Shemoneh Esra because that will help me daven b'kavona. So the Gemara immediately qualifies that. V'hani meli b'yochid. But that is only b'yochid. If you're davening in private, so then l'chatchila you should be davening quietly, even in private. If it'll help you be mechaven, then you can daven in an audible manner. Avol b'tzibur. But when it comes to davening in public with a tzibur, osi, this will come lemitrad, to disturb tzibura. And we know how serious that is. Rabbi Yehuda David, I could feel your cringing when I davened in the Groh on Thursday night as tables and chairs sound like they were being dragged upstairs and as was noshing. That is very disturbing. And therefore the Gemara takes that very, very seriously.
Turned out it was a cleaning person who was doing that, but
he
should have known. If he was Jewish, he should have known what he was doing.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the chairs do not know who's dragging them, and they make the same noise either way. The Gemara takes disturbing the tzibur extremely seriously, extremely seriously. And therefore, the Gemara is telling us, lechatchila, one should be davening quietly in all circumstances, even if you're davening in private. However, it'll help your kavana, so then you can daven, you can raise your voice a bit, but even that is only in private. But if it is betzibur, then do not do that for reasons that the Gemara just said, because it will disturb the tzibur, it'll ruin their concentration, and you have no right for your own davening to go and ruin everybody else's. So I think it's worth having a look just briefly in the Mishnah Berurah. Have a look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah. In Siman Kuf Aleph. These halachas, and so much of what we're learning now is halacha l'maisa. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Aleph 101 Sif Base, because we'll see that there is actually a very important middle ground that essentially is the correct route to take. Says the Shulchan Aruch Kuf Aleph 101 Sif Base. Loi yispalel beliboy levad. Now, this is another Gemara that we have not yet learned, where the Gemara says, and this is what I mean, that you're supposed to be adopting the middle ground. This is a Gemara later on in Daf Lamed Aleph, where it says that you're actually not supposed to be davening in an absolutely inaudible manner. Now, what does that mean? I thought we just said that you're not supposed to be davening in an audible manner. And the answer is there's middle ground. And let's explain. There are various levels of tone that a person can daven in. If a person just peruses the words with his eyes and doesn't actually say them, then everybody understands he's not yotzeh his tefillah. And that might sound like an obvious thing to say, but if you think about it very carefully, I would venture to suggest that many people are over this, especially in the case of Psukkah de Zimra. Their eyes are scanning the words. They're not actually enunciating every single word. So that's not even our discussion. That's obvious you're not Yetzer because you never said the words. But there's another darga. And let's call this level A. And that is you say the words, but you say the words so quietly that you yourself cannot actually hear what you're saying. That's a level that we did not discuss in our Gemara, and that's what it means, hamispalel lo yispalel beliboy. You daven in your heart, meaning you're saying the words, but it's totally inaudible, even to the person himself davening. And the Gemara says, you should not be davening, the Gemara says, now the Shulchan Aruch is saying, you should not daven in that manner, rather, elo mechateich hadvarim bisvosov. Mechateich literally means to cut, but you should pronounce, let's translate mechatech as pronounce. He should pronounce the words with his lips, umashmiya lo'oznov. Umashmiya lo'oznov. And he should make it audible to his own ears, with the emphasis being on lo'oznov, to his own ears. However, belachash in silence, and the Shulchan Aruch immediately explains, but v'lo yashmiya koile. But his voice should not be made audible, meaning to others. So that's what I mean, there's a middle ground over here. On the one hand, our Gemara is teaching us you're not supposed to daven in a way that others can hear. But on the other, you are supposed to hear yourself what you're davening. V'imeinoi yochoil l'chavein belachash. If taking this middle ground, davening quietly in at least a way that you can hear, if you can't be mechaven that way, then mutalag bia koiloi, you'll be permitted to raise one's voice more than that. But as the Gemara immediately qualifies, so does the Shulchan Aruch, v'hani mili, that only is true, beinoi lebein atzmoi, when he is alone by himself. Aval b'tzibur asur. If he's davening in public with a tzibur, then it's asur. Why? Da'osi lemitrad tziburoi. Because he will come to disturb the tzibur. There is a ramah. We'll leave that for the moment. Let's go back to the Mishnah Brura in Sifkotan Hey. So the Shulchan Aruch is clearly telling us you're not supposed to be davening in an absolute silent way. Rather, you're supposed to be davening silently, but at least you yourself are able to hear the words you're saying, but not in a loud manner that others can hear it, even while davening in private, unless you can't be mechavan. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkotan Hey, a very big chiddush. The Yesh Shekosvu. There are those who write the Tzarech Lochush Ledivrei HaZoihar. As we know, and I don't want to launch into a whole discussion over here, this is a highly sensitive and controversial topic, and that is the Zoihar, which is obviously Divrei Kabbalah, does that or does that not have place Lahalocha? Meaning, if the Gemara and the Rishonim would say one thing, but in the Zohar it would say the opposite, does Halacha relate to that at all? It's a very, very, very sensitive topic. But either way, here's a classic example, because the Mishnah Berurah says that there are those who write that one should be concerned with the Zohar. What does it say in the Zohar? It says there, She'af lechatchila loy yashmiya le'oznov. The Zohar says that you should be davening and you should not be able to hear your own words. That's not what it says in our Gemara. And in the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara, which we have not yet learned, but the Shulchan Aruch, which we have, says you're supposed to be davening at least in a manner that you yourself can hear the words coming out of your mouth. There are some who quote the Zohar who says you should not do that. And you should indeed be davening so quietly that even you can't hear what you're saying. Never mind your neighbor, but even you can't hear what you're saying. Avol, Hamogen Avrom, Kosav, Shein Raya Meha Zohar. Hamogen Avrom disputes and says, no, if you learn the Zohar carefully, you'll see that's not what he's saying. V'chein Kosav B'bio Hagro. The Vilna Goyen says also this is a misunderstanding of what the Goyen is saying, what the Zohar is saying, and there is actually no machloikas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Zohar. The Chayin Kosav Shari Achreinim says the Mishnah Berurah. That's what other Achreinim say. She Toiv Yaisa Lechatchila. The best to do Lechatchila, if you want to daven Lechatchila, is She Yashmiya LaOznov. Now, I must admit, this is a rather challenging halacha. And what do I mean it's challenging? According to the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah has now confirmed that this is the consensus of the Achreinim. There might be a Zohar, there might not be a Zohar, but the consensus of the Achreinim is you're supposed to be doing what it says in Shulchan Aruch, which means that lechatchila, when you daven Shmoyne Esra, at least you should be hearing the words coming out of your mouth. So why is that a challenging halacha? Because this is very, very difficult sometimes to strike the right balance. Because as the Shulchan Aruch himself continues, your neighbor is not supposed to be hearing you. So if I was being told to daven in total silence, well, that's very easy to do. But if I'm being told I've got to daven in a way that I can hear my own words, but the person next to me cannot, so that's rather a challenge, not such an easy balance to strike. And I must say, I have heard on a number of occasions, and it's rather disturbing, I have been sitting next to somebody in davening who's davening Shmoneh Esrei very loudly in a way that clearly I, as his neighbor, could hear it, and that's very disturbing. Says the Mishnah Berurah, everything we have discussed is lechatchila, but ubedieved, ubedieved, lekula alma, everybody would agree, im omar belachash, if he did daven in total silence, kolkach, So much so, she'afilu la'oznov lo yishmia, that even his own ears were not able to hear the words he was davening. Yotza, he is yotza. Why? Kiven shemikol mokoyim, because at the end of the day, hoitzi bisfasov, he did enunciate the words. So, Rabbi Yisai, if a person davens and he realizes that actually he just scanned the words with his eyes, then he's definitely not yotza, because he didn't say the words. If he did say the words, but not quite loudly enough for him to be able to hear his own davening, he is yotze b'di'eved, because at least he has said the words. But lechatchila, you're supposed to say the words at least in a manner that the davener can hear what's coming out of his own mouth, but his neighbor should not be able to hear that. Sivkotin vov, v'lo yashmia koiloi, we said, even though you're supposed to be davening in a way that you can hear your own davening, but not that your neighbor can, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah Berurah, this we mentioned before, diksiv betfilas chano, we learn this from the Tefillah of Chano, and it says there, quote unquote, rak sfoseho nois, only her lips were moving, v'koilo lo yishoma, and her voice could not be heard. So I think I mentioned the pasuk before, v'chana hima daberes alibo, Mishnah Berurah says, no, it's learned from the words, v'koilo lo yishoma. It says quite clearly, her voice could not be heard. V'chol hamashmia koilo b'tfilosoi, says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Gemara we just learned, if anybody davens loudly, even if he's by himself, as we said, even by yourself, l'chatchili is supposed to be davening quietly. Harizeh miktani emuna, then he's clearly on a very low level of emuna, because it's ki'ilu ein ma'amin, it's as if he doesn't quite believe Shakadosh Baruch Hu shemea tfilas lachash. Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the other Gemara we learned, v'chol hamagbia koilei b'tfilosei, this is worse, not just that he's davening in a way that's audible, but if he actually says the davening loud, harezem nevi'ei hasheker. Remember, we learned this in the previous Gemara. He's like the Nevi'im, the times of Eliyahu HaNavi, who was screaming, Shahayodarkon litzoik b'koil, because the way of the false prophets is to daven loudly, la'avoda zara shelohem. Va'ayin babirke Yosef. Now listen what the Mishnah Berurah quotes, is very important. He's quoting the Birke Yosef, who is the Chidon, and also b'chaye Odom, delechat chila, Sorech leispalel balachash lechatchila, you're supposed to be davening silently. Kol kach she'af chaveiroi ho'oimed besomuch loy, such that even his friend who is standing very close to him, loy yie yuchal lishmoya, that his friend should not be able to hear him. So the Mishnah Berurah has clearly told you that if ever you come to davening and you want to daven with kavana, that's all very nice, but not in a way that the fellow next to you can hear your davening. Or mikol mokoyim, im ef shloy lechaven beinyan zeh, if you cannot be mechaven, yesh loy lasos beinyan sheyochel lechaven, then you can daven slightly louder than normal, but the main condition is ach sheyizoher shloy yatrid la'achirim, but do not disturb others. So if you're davening in shul, and there's somebody standing to the right of you and to the left of you and to the front of you and to the back of you, and you know if you raise your voice a little bit, that will disturb them, don't do that. What should you do? Go to the back of the shul, find a quiet corner where there's nobody surrounding you, and then you'd be allowed to raise your voice slightly. Now here comes a chidush din. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkotin Zayin, va'afilu b'psukei dezimra toiv shelo lahorim koil. Even in psukei dezimra, it is good not to completely raise your voice. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu shoimea balachash, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hear even when a person davens quietly. V'loy ka'oysom hamagbiyim koilom yoyser midai. And not like those who raise their voices more than is necessary. So, on the one hand, it doesn't say you have to daven psukim de zimra, absolute silence, like Shmona Esra, but not too loudly, except one day a week. And when is that? It says in Mishnah Berurah, Umiyu b'Shabbos, shenoyagim she'echodoyim b'psukim de zimra b'koil rom shapir domi. So now, I would think that the correct thing would be to say that there are various customs and different messiahs. Some people and some kehilos do daven psukim de zimra loudly. It doesn't mean you have to scream and yell. Some on Shabbos, for example, are more makpid, especially when it comes to nishmas. Everybody should follow their own minhag.
Rabbi, it's interesting, considering all these halachas, that on the Yom Narayim, there's dafka, a time right, when you're louder.
For those who are part of my parasha share, last Yom Narayim, on a Thursday night share, we gave an entire share about this. If you want, I'll send it to you, Mitzvah Hashem. How can it be that on Yom Neiroim, the Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to daven loudly? I'll send you the share. If you have time to listen, then maybe that will answer your question. I think I've also mentioned in the past, Rabbi Gisele, you wanted to add something?
Pardon?
You wanted to add something? You're unmuted?
No, finish the thought. I have a question.
No, go and ask the question.
No, the question was that doesn't seem the Mishnah Berurah Shulchan Aruch mentions reading Shimon Esri. Obviously, you're not Yotzi, but it doesn't say anything about that.
Right, but it is, because the Shulchan Aruch, by saying Elo Mechatech Hadvarim Besvosov, has addressed that point. Mechatech Hadvarim Besvosov means you have to pronounce the words. So Shulchan Aruch is clearly telling you, therefore, just to scan them with your eyes is not considered to be Mechatech Hadvarim Besvosov. I think we did mention, and this story is a beautiful, very profound story. It does not contradict what we're learning, although, as I mentioned, different kehilos have different messiahs. But it's well known that in the Hasidus of Karelin, which is, by the way, where the terrible tragedy happened a couple of weeks ago, Leil Shavuos, in the Hasidus of Karelin, they do daven loudly, extremely loudly. We're not too much Shmona Esra. Shema Psuk Dizimra, I've never actually davened there, but I've heard literally they yell davening. And that's their Masurus, and that's the way the Mo'ira Kavona. So the story is told, I've told this, I think we once mentioned this in a Shir, and maybe in our Tfilavad, where somebody, a Karolina Chosid, actually ended up in Brisk, in the original Brisk, and davened in the same shul as the Brisker of, and davened very loudly, as is the minig of Karelin, and people found that very off-putting. In Brisk, they were not used to this Messiahs, and people complained to the Briskerov, and they said to the Briskerov, what says this fellow? He's landed in our shul, Karelin Chosid, that was extremely loud, and it's very disturbing. So the Briskerov says, I'll sort him out. I'll sort out the situation. So the Briskerov found the opportunity, and he approached this Chosid, and he said to him, I'm going on a walk for health reasons. Would you like to join me? Sure, tremendous privilege, so to walk together with the Briskerov. And they were walking, and they were engaged in small talk, as it were, conversation, how are you, what's doing? And all of a sudden, in the middle of the conversation, the Briskerov suddenly yells at his Karelina walking partner, so how are you, and what's your name? And his Karelina Chosid was very taken aback. He says, the Rob, I'm standing right next to you, I can hear, even if you don't scream. The Briskerov says, yeah, same too with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. When one davens, there's no need to scream. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hear even if you don't scream. However, that's not the end of the story, because the final word actually went to the Karelina Chosid. The Karelina Chosid said to the Rebbe, said to the Briskerov, says, you don't understand. I'm not screaming so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hear my tefillah. I'm screaming so that I myself will hear my own tefillah. Which is a very profound thought, does not contradict what we're learning over here, because everybody admits that after all, is the yisod of tefillah. Never mind whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears our tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hear, but the question is, did we hear our own tefillah ourselves? Are we aware of what we're saying? Or do we just mumble the words? As somebody told me yesterday, you come to davening and you do two bangs for Slach Lanu, and suddenly you find yourself doing three steps back for Issa Shalom, and I davened. So either way, every person has to connect to their own Messiris. The general Messiris, definitely with us, Bnei Ashkenaz, is not to daven loudly. Pesukah de Zimra might be an exception, but certainly Shmona Esra, one should follow the guidelines of the Shulchan Aruch. Daven quietly. You should yourself be able to hear what you're saying, but your neighbors should not. I just want to see one more line of the Ramah. If you have a look at the Ramah, look at the Ramah, the end of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says at the end, "V'im mashmiya koiloi bebeisoi k'shemispalel." If somebody is davening at home and he davens loudly, why? Kadesha yil medumi menu bnei beisoi, so that his children, his family, should learn from him. Then it's mutter, then it's permissible. Meaning, if you're davening with your kids, how does a Rebbe in Cheder daven together with his kids and they all daven loudly? The answer is because they're being taught how to daven, and that would be mutter. Just before we close the Shulchan Aruch, have a look at the Biur Halacha at the beginning of the Sif. This is on page 260. You'll see a small Biur Halacha, but this is absolutely crucial. In my version, it's on the fourth bottom line of the Biur Halacha. Have you got it? Where he says the words, Beliboy. Do you have the Biur Halacha that says Beliboy? The Shulchan Aruch says, do not daven Beliboy. Rav Moshe Zelig, this was your Halacha. Beliboy means davening in your heart without pronouncing the words. The Shulchan Aruch is clearly telling me, do not daven Beliboy, meaning do not daven merely by scanning the words. Says the Biur Halacha, Ubedieved. Im hispalel beliboy, what happens if you did daven b'dievet beliboy in your heart, meaning you do not actually pronounce the words? Mitzadei da Mogen Avrom, the Mogen Avrom leans in the direction, deloy yotza, you are not yotza. V'chein kosa b'sefer nefesh ha'chaim perakei of Reb Chaim V'lozhin. So the Biur Halacha tells us that the poskim say if you daven in a way where you've just perused, scan the words with your eyes, then you're not yotzei. You've got to actually pronounce the words, but not just scan the words. So like we said, this can all be summed up really in one line. There is a middle ground that's supposed to be adopted. Not that the words are just scanned, not in absolute total silence, but at least loud enough that you yourself can hear the words coming out of your mouth. But on the other hand, not loudly that your neighbor can hear, and even if you're davening at home, where there's no neighbor, lechatchila one should be davening quietly, unless either it'll help you be mechaven, so if you're in private, you can daven loudly, example number one. Example number two, if you're davening loudly in order to teach your family or talmidim, then it would be mutter. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Couple more minutes. Let's begin the next sugya. Says the Gemara on the fourth line, Rabbi Abba have a komishtamit minei the Rabbi Yehuda. Mishtamit means you would avoid. Rabbi Abba would avoid Rabbi Yehuda. Why was Rabbi Abba avoiding Rabbi Yehuda? Says the Gemara, because the Havakaboi, because he wanted Lemesak, they lived in Bovel, and he wanted Lemesak, literally means to go up, to be Oile. He wanted to do Aliyah. He wanted to go up, La Aradi Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. Now, what's wrong with that? I would have thought that's a very commendable thing to do. He wanted to go up to Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rav Abba wanted. However, Rabbi Yehuda was against. Very, very interesting chiddush. The Omar Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kol ha'oila mi bavel le'eretz Yisrael." Anybody who leaves Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael, would you believe it? Oiver ba'asei. Not if you come from other countries. For the moment, we are mentioning Bavel. If you leave Bavel and come to Eretz Yisrael, you're being over a mitzvah sasei. What will be the issue? Says the Gemara. He learns this from a pasuk which is in Yirmiyahu. Shenema bovelo yuva'u. Klal Yisrael will be brought to Bavel, and it says v'shamayu, and there they shall remain. Ad yoim pokti oisam u'm Hashem, until the day, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until I remember them. In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually brings the Geula, then that's when people will be taking Klal Yisrael out of Bavel back into Eretz Yisrael. But it quite clearly says that until that time, they will remain there. So if you leave earlier than the allotted time, you are being over this assay, a tremendous chiddush. Now, clearly, not everybody agreed with that. Because you see that Rav Abba did have plans to leave Bavel and go to Eretz Yisrael, but he was avoiding Rabbi Yehuda. Why was he avoiding him? Because Rabbi Yehuda maintained that it's also to do so. And if it's also to do so, he didn't want to bump into Rabbi Yehuda, who might well give him rebuke for being over an assay. Look at Rashi. Mishtamit minei loy hoya nira elov. He would not appear to him. He would make sure that he was not spotted. Did not want to bump into Rabbi Yehuda. Lefi, because shahaya Rabbi Abba chofetz lalois l'Eretz Yisrael. Because Rabbi Abba wanted to go up to Eretz Yisrael. V'Rabbi Yehuda oiser loy. And Rabbi Yehuda forbade this. In the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to do this. You've got to remain in Bavel. Lefichach loy hoya nichnas. The Beis HaMedrash. Therefore, he did not enter the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Yehuda, much as you would have liked to have learned from his Torah, but he couldn't bring himself to come face to face with Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda will clearly give him a Musa Drasha. What's going on? Why are you leaving Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael? So what did he do? Back into the Gemara. Omar, so he said, Rabbi Abba said, if I cannot see Rabbi Yehuda face to face, meaning I cannot enter the Beis HaMedrash, Ezel I will go, the Eshma Minei Milsa. I will listen to him. I will listen from him, try and overhear something from him, Mi Beis Va'ado. What's Mi Beis Va'ado? Says Rashi, the Eshma Minei Milsa Mi Bachutz. Rather than entering the Beis HaMedrash, I'll try and listen from outside. Mi Beis Vado, Mi Beis HaMedrash. So he couldn't enter the Beis HaMedrash, but he didn't want to completely sever his ties with Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, I'd like to still gain from his Torah. So if I'm not going to go in, at least I will stand outside the Beis HaMedrash and try and listen then to some chiddush that Rabbi Yehuda says. What is that chiddush? I think we're going to have to hold it over here, but we'll continue this tomorrow. We'll see this together with the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll keep on going down to the bottom of the Amud. It's not a difficult Gemara. It's not a difficult Gemara. Okay, so we'll hold it over here. We'll continue tomorrow in session.